Welcome to sermons from St. Paul's Lutheran Church of Minot, North Dakota.
St. Paul's is anchored in the message of Christ crucified for the forgiveness of sins, for the church and for the world.
The following sermon is from Reverend Dr. Matthew Richard.
In the name of Jesus. Amen. It actually is not very popular to say this. Indeed, it is not very popular to say this, but nonetheless, it is true and it needs to be said. We have an angry God. Yes, you heard that correctly. We have an angry God. Now, some may push back against this and say something to the effect, no, God is not angry. God is love. There's no hate or anger in God. We certainly do not have an angry God. We have a God of love. This begs the question. Yes, this begs the question then. Did God giggle with eyes full of glee when Adam and Eve first sinned in that garden long ago? When God looks down upon his creation and sees pride and envy, wrath, greed, gluttony, lust, and sloth, when God sees all of this, when he sees all of this, does he say, you know, those rascally humans are at it again. Oh, shucks. Kids will be kids. Now, dear friends, this Good Friday evening, we must be perfectly clear. Every departure from the holy will of God is sin. Sin is the refusal to recognize our obligation toward God. Sin is the evil thoughts, the evil desires, the evil actions that we think, that we say, that we do. Things that are contrary to God's holy will. Sin is lawlessness. It is a transgression against the will of God. Sin is us actually coming along and twisting God's good desires for our selfish gains. Sin is us perverting the holy will of God so that we can prop ourselves up. Sin is us crossing, well, the line of God because we want what we want and we want it right now. And no one, especially God, is going to stop that from happening. And so because of sin, there are consequences. Punishments for sin from God himself. In other words, because of sin, we experience a threefold punishment. We experience spiritual death, temporal death, and eternal death. Indeed, there is a punishment from God for the guilt of sin. Perhaps you maybe are still protesting deep within this thought that, can God really be an angry God? If so, listen to Psalm 90. Yes, Psalm 90. Let this sink in. Psalm 90 states this, "For we are brought to an end by your anger, by your wrath, O God. We are dismayed. You have set our iniquities before you, our secret sins in the light of your presence. For all of our days pass away under your wrath, O God. We bring our years to an end like a sigh. The years of our life are 70, or even by reason of strength, 80. Yet their span is but toil and trouble. They are soon gone, and we fly away. Who considers the power of your anger and your wrath according to the fear of you? So teach us to number our days, that we may get a heart of wisdom. Return, O Lord, how long? Have pity on your servants." As you have just heard, God is not some pushover boss or a burnt-out teacher who turns a blind eye to mischievous employees and rascally students. God is also not a flower child kind of God who says, "Spread love, not hate. Let kindness bloom." Dear friends, God will not be mocked. He will not tolerate evil. He will not celebrate wickedness with a parade float. He will not applaud our fallen nature. God is not the author of sin, but instead he hates sin. He condemns sin and has anger against sin itself. God's wrath and his punishment rest upon the guilt of mankind. And so those who deny God's anger and wrath, well, they are drunk on their devised cocktails of squishy tolerance. Yes, squishy tolerance is laced with perverted love. Indeed, they are drunk on their devised cocktails of squishy tolerances laced with perverted love. They are so drunk on their imaginary version of God that they fail to realize that we have offended God with our sins and that he would be completely fair in giving us temporal and eternal punishment. Indeed, if God were to smite all of mankind to hell itself, he would be morally just in doing so, for it is what we deserve. Now, some will still protest and say this, but we are trying to make God not so angry, aren't we? We're doing the best that we can. We're trying to appease this angry God by trying to make up for things, by being good and doing good and trying to be pious. In other words, we get that God maybe has an anger problem per se, but we're doing the best we can to reverse that. But we must understand that our righteous deeds, that is actually the best that we can conjure up as human beings, the very best that we can put forward, the very best that we can conjure up of our righteous deeds are nothing more than filthy rags before God. That is to say, translated literally, they're like used menstrual rags before God himself. We cannot buy God off. Our puny good works cannot tame this angry God. And so tonight, we're clearly at an impasse. God angers at sin, and we cannot do anything about it. Now, dear friends, please let all of this sink in. Please let this sink in. If it makes you uncomfortable, good. If this makes you unsettled, good. If you don't like to hear about God's anger, good. If this sounds politically incorrect, definitely good. Tonight, hearing about God's anger should have the effect of causing you and me a tremendous amount of discomfort. Trust me, I do not like preaching this. If it does not cause you a little bit of discomfort, or even a lot of discomfort, then what I'm about to tell you will not make any sense at all. You see, if you do not comprehend the anger of God, you will not be able to appreciate and rejoice in the cross of Christ. And so right now, at this point, in this place, in this time, right now, straighten your backs, dear saints. Lean forward in that pew. Open your ears and chins up. Embrace what you're about to hear. Because of God's anger over sin, Christ had to die for you. Yes, hear that again. To appease God's wrath, your Jesus was made to be sin for you so that he could appease God's anger, so that God's wrath would no longer rest on you, but rest on Christ. Indeed, rest on Jesus. But there may be a protest yet again. Are we saying that God was so angry over sin that Christ had to die for sinful mankind? Yes, that is exactly what we are saying. That is exactly what we're saying this evening. Listen to a paraphrase of Isaiah. Listen to a paraphrase of Isaiah 53. Isaiah 53. It would be easy to look at Jesus and think that he was being punished by God for his misdoings. However, the fact is that it was our pains that Jesus carried. It was all that was wrong with us that brought God's judgment, God's punishment upon Christ. It was our sins that did that to him on the cross. It was our sins that ripped and tore and crushed Jesus. Our sins did that to him. And so he took the punishment for us. God piled all of our sins, everything that we have done wrong, on Christ, so that Jesus could be beaten and tortured and slaughtered in silence for you and for me. Through his bruises, we get healed. That is what God had in mind all along, to crush the Christ, to crush Jesus with pain. The plan was that Jesus would give himself as an offering for our sins. Indeed, your Jesus, was made to be sin on that cross, so that the wrath and the anger and the vengeance of God could be unleashed on him as the suffering servant, as he bled and he suffered on that cross for you. Yes, hear that, for you. Is this cruel? You bet. It is. Is sin that serious? Absolutely. Dear friends, this is how serious God's anger and sin really are. Sin is not a laughing matter. God's anger cannot be satisfied with a chill pill. Only the death of the Son of God could atone for sin and satisfy the wrath of God, which it did, which it absolutely did. And so, while we look at the cross tonight, this Good Friday, we can surely see a full visible picture of God's wrath on display against sinful mankind, and yet, at the same time, at the very same time, we can see the full visible picture of God's love on display for sinful mankind, for you and for me, right there on that cross. Baptized saints, the cross of Christ is a divine collision of God's wrath against sin and God's love for you, for mankind, for the entire world itself. You see, if there were no anger for sin, there would be no need for a cross, no need of a cross for Christ. And if there were no love for mankind, there would be no cross of Christ either. But there is a cross, and there upon that cross is a bleeding Savior, appeasing the wrath of God and loving you. And so it gives me great joy to say to you this Good Friday evening, yes, this Good Friday evening, that your Lord God is no longer angry with sinners. And hear this, he no longer condemns you for your sins. For his wrath and his anger were fully satisfied in the death of Jesus. Yes, you need to hear that again and hear it again and again and again. Let it come into your ears, into your mind, into your hearts, into your bones to hear this good news that is for you. Because Jesus was without sin and because he bore your sin and my sin as his own on the cross, and because he was made a victim for you and for me on that cross, and because he received the full punishment of sin for you and for me on that cross, there is no longer any condemnation for you and for me in Christ Jesus. And so in Christ, God cannot be angry with you, for his wrath against sin was satisfied on Christ, in Christ's suffering and his death on your stead and on your behalf. And so hear this right now. God looks upon you through the blood of Christ, and he says this evening, through the blood and the accomplishment of Christ, well done, faithful servants. You are my children. You are forgiven. I'm well pleased with you. Yes, you have heard this correctly. Because of Jesus' accomplished work, and because you are buried with Christ and raised with Christ in holy baptism, there is no leftover wrath of God resting upon you. Jesus satisfied the wrath for you completely and totally and fully. He said, after all, the words, "It is finished," tetelestai. Indeed, your sins were crucified with Christ on that day on Mount Calvary. God's wrath was satisfied with Christ that day on Mount Calvary. Forgiveness was accomplished for you that day at Mount Calvary. All for you. All as a gift. And so tonight we gaze upon the cross and we see two things. We see the anger of God against sin, and then simultaneously we see God's atonement for sin. And so in the crucified Christ we see hope. We see love, we see assurance, we see our atonement, we see peace with God. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus, dear beloved saints, this Good Friday evening. Amen.
Thy strong word be speaks us righteous, bright with thine own holiness.
Thank you for listening to today's podcast sermon.
You can access a full manuscript of today's sermon from Pastor Matthew Richard's blog
at www.pastormattrichard.org or visit St. Paul's website
at www.stpaulsminot.org.
The Lord bless and keep you.